Solomon message and song. I encourage you to meditate upon the truth of that, even to come now to the Word of God. Because as we've heard a solemn message and song, we come to a solemn passage in Scripture itself. And if you want to turn with me, please, in the living Word of God to the Gospel according to Luke in the chapter 8. We continue our series in this Gospel record. And having seen last Lord's Day the parable that Christ gave, and that of the sower and of the four different soils, Jesus Christ immediately afterwards gives another parable. And we want to look at that parable this evening. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and we'll commence reading at verse 16. Let us hear the word of Christ. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, My mother and my brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 21. Let's bow briefly in a word of prayer. In the stillness of our hearts, let's call upon the Lord, asking him to undertake for the remainder of the service and the preaching of his word. Our Heavenly Father, I thank thee for the reminder this evening to my own heart, and I trust to others as well, of the reality of eternity. Father, not a single one of us knows how long we will have to live. We do not even know what will be on the morrow, for our lives are but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Father, I pray that you would give us the hearts that you want us to have. Father, may hearts be redeemed by thy grace. Christ has paid the debt. Father, may they be delivered tonight. Come to Christ in faith and repentance. And Father, for us who are saved, may we continue more than we ever have in that faith and repentance toward thee. May we see Christ and how much we need him. May we see our sinfulness before him. But Father, may we see the glorious gospel that is to be found in him. Make us be what you want us to be, Lord, by the Spirit of God. Fill me afresh with the Spirit of God now. Take me, use me as your channel, and bless thy living word. In Jesus' name I ask all these things, knowing that without Christ I can do nothing. But we thank you for the promise that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst keep thy promise. Glorify the name of Christ, advance his kingdom abundantly, exceeding abundant above what we could ever ask or think. This very evening we pray it. Amen. Amen. Since 1854, the Met Office has pioneered the science of meteorology, which is the forecasting of the weather. They gather information from weather satellites in space and different observations on Earth, and they're responsible for informing people, businesses, and emergency services, as well as governments, regarding the weather that is coming. The Met Office operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And in what they do, they have a three-tiered system whenever it comes to giving a warning. Some of you may have noticed these whenever it came to news bulletins or watching the TV or reading newspapers or perhaps an app on your phone. The lowest of the warnings is what's described as a yellow warning. If weather is likely to impact in a small way some amount of people, then they will issue a yellow warning. These types of warnings will be given for the likes of weather that will impact travel and perhaps impact it with a small delay. Action is not required. It's really for information. The next level up is what is known as the amber warning. It is issued whenever the weather will make a significant impact upon the people, whether it be through power cuts, road closures, or indeed damage to property. And as a result, action is to be considered. They exhort you to consider what you will do with the information. Then the highest level of warning issued by the Met Office is what is known as the red warning. There's a warning that is not just for some people. It is for all people. It is not something to give information merely, or indeed to ask people to consider action. But it demands that action is to be taken immediately. It is severe warning, because the weather provides a severe risk to life. This evening, whenever I look at this passage before us, I put it to you that what we have here is not a yellow warning, nor indeed an amber warning. It is a red warning to every single one of us. In verse 18, the warning is summarized. Jesus Christ says, "Take heed how ye hear." There's a warning to every one of us, no matter how young or no matter how old you are. Take heed how you hear. To those who come tonight, you don't profess Christ as your Savior, and to those who do profess Christ as Savior, this is a warning. Take heed how ye hear. In verse 18, Christ will say, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given." There's a promise, there's an encouragement, there's a blessing and a comfort, but notice here the warning. "Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." I want this evening to look simply at this warning of Christ. Take heed how you hear. What is the context? Well, in verses 4 to 15 of this chapter, Jesus Christ has been preaching from city to city and village to village. In verse 4 of the chapter, we read that much people, it's not a few people, it's not 10 or 20 people, but much people were gathered together unto Christ, were come to him out of every city. As people stand before Christ, sees a variety of people before him, and he speaks a parable to them. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and it is about a farmer, or indeed a sower, who goes forth and he sows seed. And as he sows seed, it lands in four different types of soil. There is the wayside soil, which is hard. There is the shallow soil, where you have a little bit of soil and then a big, large block of rock. Then there is the thorny soil. We have a good amount of soil, and there has been some weeding that's been done. The tops of the weeds and the thorns have been cut off, but underneath that soil, the roots of the weeds and the thorns still exist. And then there is the fourth type of soil, the good soil. That soil which has been broken up, the weeds have been rooted out, and it's ready to receive the word, the seed that's sown. All four of these types of soil speak about different hearts as they hear the word of God. And may I just say that these types of soils are not referring to the people this evening out in Dromore Town, or indeed any of the surrounding districts. It's not referring to people who are not hearing the public preaching of God's word. These four types of soil are all those who are here to hear the preaching of God's word. All four of them hear the word of God. If you want to look me at verse 12, we read, "These by the wayside are they that hear." Verse 13, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear." Verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard." And indeed, verse 15, "But that in the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word." It's referring to people who have come, such as this evening, to hear the word of God. Who are the wayside? They are the person that has the heart that, like the soil that's been trodden down underfoot, trodden down again and again and again, it is a person with a hard heart. They have no desire to receive the word, no desire to be impacted by the word, no desire to be changed by the word. They have a hard heart. The illustration used last week was all of a kitchen worktop. You pour water upon it, the water will not go into the worktop. It just runs off. It's hard. The second type of heart that could perhaps be here this evening is that of the rocky heart. And that's the type of person who will hear the word of God as it's preached and as it's proclaimed, and they will rejoice in it. And they'll go in and say, "That was interesting. That was a blessing. Praise God for that word."
whenever they go out.
While the soil has received the word, that little bit of soil that is over that big block of rock,
if they go out, doesn't change.
They don't try to be changed by it. They don't meditate upon the word. They aren't changed by the word. They don't do anything with the word.
Then there's a third type of heart, seen here by that thorny heart.
And they're the type of people who have a little bit more soil. They rejoice again in the word as it's preached. They go out saying, what a word. Praise God for the word. And maybe they go out with an intention. I want to be changed by that word.
But yet they have so many cares,
so many pleasures, so many distractions in life, so many concerns perhaps in life, so many difficulties and problems, maybe with family, maybe with friends, maybe with work, maybe with school, that they don't think about the word.
And as a result, they're not changed by it.
And then there is a fourth type of soil, and that is the good soil. They have plenty of soil, and they rejoice to hear the word. But whenever they go home after hearing the preached word, they receive it. They receive it deep down into their heart. You see, they delight in the word of God. They meditate upon the word of God. They love the word of God. And as a result, they pray over the word of God, that they'll be changed by the word. And they bring forth fruits from that word.
Not a little bit of fruit. Fruit 30, 60, and indeed 100-fold.
That parable being given and being explained in the opening verses of this chapter, in verse 16, Christ gives a new parable, but he's carrying on the theme of hearing the word of God. And in this new illustration, he speaks about an ancient lamp. If you imagine Aladdin's lamp, where you have a little oval-shaped teapot with a spout on it, well, that's the idea of this lamp. That's the idea of this candle's been referred to here. And the question simply comes, as you hear the word of God, is there light that shines out the spout? As you hear the word of God preached week by week, and as you'll hear the word of God preached tonight, will light come forth from you? Will the word impact you?
That's the question. Will you go out like that thorny ground and that rocky ground, not do anything with the word?
Notice with me a number of points. The first is this: good hearing produces godly light. Good hearing. If you're a good ground hearer, you will produce godly light. You look at me, please, at verse 16 of the chapter. Christ says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. The picture is clear. If you hear the word of God, if you receive the word of God, if you love the word of God, you will obey the word of God. You will let it change your life. You will pray over it, praying that God would transform you, that the word of God would impact you, that you be transformed. And being transformed, you will then shine. You will reveal that word which you heard in the public preaching. You will reveal it by your changed life. You will reveal it by the words that you speak in the days that are to come. You see, good hearing produces godly light. Now, of course, the opposite is also true. If you hear the word of God tonight, but you do not receive it, you do not love it, you do not care about it, you go home, you never think about it, you do not obey it, then you will not be changed by it. And you will produce no godly light as a result of the preached word that you've heard this evening. In short, you will not shine forth any light as a result of what you've heard. There's two lessons here. The first lesson is this: God wants every one of us tonight to be good hearers. God wants every one of us, every time we come to the public preaching of God's word. You can apply this to your private devotion time whenever you read God's word, but it's primarily the public preaching of the word. It's the sower going forth, and he scatters the seed everywhere. It's the public scattering. And God wants us all this evening to be good hearers. God wants us not merely to hear with our physical ears, but he wants us to think upon the word. He wants us to love the word. He wants us to then pray over the Word, that we would be changed and impacted by the Word. God wants us to obey the Word. God wants us then to share the Word. And so I ask you this evening, whenever it comes to the Lord's Day services, whenever it comes to weeks and the years and months that have gone by, are you a good hearer? Upon hearing the Word in the Lord's Day, whether it be the morning or evening time, do you love the Word? Do you go home and do you ever think about the Word? Do you ever pray over the Word? Do you ever meditate upon the Word? Do you cry that God would change your heart by the Word? And then do you go and do you tell others about the Word? Do you tell others about what you heard in the Lord's Day? Do you tell others about what you heard of Christ? For what He's done in your heart and your life? Do you share the Word? See, in verse 17, Christ said, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You see, the indication is here that if the seed of the Word of God, that living seed, truly goes into your heart, then your heart will produce a living fruit. If you really are a good hearer, if I'm a good hearer, then it will produce godly light. It will change us. Are you a good hearer? Do you do anything with the Word week after week? I'm not asking, do you delight and go out saying, oh, praise God, I was blessed today. Do you go out and are you changed by it? Do you reveal godly light as a result of it? You see, the rocky hearer delighted in the Word. The crowny grind delighted in the Word. But they were never changed by it. It made any impact on them. Are you a good hearer tonight? Or are you a bad hearer? But hearing the Word of God preached in the Lord's Day, week after week, you may rejoice in the Word, but reality is, as soon as you leave, you don't really care anymore about it. You don't care to really understand it. You don't care that it really impact and change your life. No desire to tell others about it. You're just happy to attend church and go through the routine and go through the ritual and just go home. You get a wee blessing, something interests you, something enlightens you. Well, praise God for it, but you don't go home and do anything with it. Whenever you speak to people throughout the week, you tell nobody about what you've been taught from God. Your mouth speaks only the latest TV series that you've been watching. Your lips mention only the latest news item that you've heard. You have no desire and you do not shine forth the light of Christ that you have heard in the Lord's Day. Because the reality is your heart received no light of Christ. You may have heard it, but you didn't receive it. You didn't receive it into your heart and life. You don't show forth fruit because the seed of God never entered into your heart. Instead of emanating the light of the world who's Christ, you just emanate the world because that's all that's in your heart. First lesson then is that God wants you and I to be good hearers. Are you and I good hearers? I speak to myself before I speak to anybody here tonight. This is a passage that's really challenged my heart. The second lesson tonight is that God teaches us on the Lord's Day so that we will teach others. In verse 16, Christ said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, setteth it up high. They which enter in may see the light. Why does God desire that you're blessed in the Lord's Day through the Word? Oh, for your benefit, yes, but so much more than that. That you will then shine as a result to others. You imagine a birthday cake. I'm sure you've been to birthday parties. Perhaps you've done it yourself. And you light a match, and of course the match isn't light for too long, and maybe you've got 30 candles you have to light in that birthday cake. And so you light the match, and you light the first candle. And what you do is you take the candle, and you light another candle, and you light another candle, and then you light another candle, and then you light another candle. This is the idea we're getting at here. God wants you to be blessed on the Lord's Day. He wants you to receive the Word. He wants you to pray over the Word. He wants you to be impacted by the Word. Why? So that you then will shine as a light. Not that you'll be covered, but that you will reveal that light to all that will enter into your life in the coming week. That light of you will be spread to others. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, similar wording here. Christ says, "Ye are the light of the world," speaking regarding his people. In verse 15 of Matthew 5, Christ says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Then Christ applies it, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God does not light your soul. God does not bless your soul in the Lord's day. He does not prepare a message for your soul so that you will go out and not be lit. God prepares a message for your soul. He prepares the very heart that you have so that you will go out lit, shining for Christ. Because God desires that you are not put under a bushel in your life, but that you're set up on high, that you'll be an influence and a witness to all around in this week that is to come. That is God's will. Again, the question never comes to you and I tonight. Upon hearing the word of God, do we love it? Do we want to be changed by it? Do we want to obey it? Do we want to reveal it? Do we want to share it? By the lies that are changed in us, but also by the words that we speak. I remember whenever I was a minister in Belfast, going around to visit a couple that attended the church, one lady was particularly unwell, and her husband would have come home, and after the service, whenever I spoke to the couple upon visiting during the week, she said, "My husband comes home smelling of roses." I said, "Well, I'm glad he smells nice, but I don't get what you mean." She simply said, "He comes home and tells me all that what he's heard of Christ." He desired to tell others, tell his family, tell his friends, tell his neighbors what he heard of Christ that very day. Do you and I desire to tell others? You see, Christ says in verse 17, very solemn words, "Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." If you and I have no desire to be impacted by the word and changed by the word and to share the word, the reality is the word never entered into our hearts. And we're not the good hearer. You see, the ones who go out and do nothing with the word are the rocky ground and are the thorny ground and the wayside ground. It's a challenge, surely, to every one of us. What type of ground are we? Good hearing produces godly light. That's the first point tonight. May I just say briefly before I go on that good hearing produces godly light in spite of difficulties. What are the reasons that people who hear the word of God and are blessed by the word of God, what are the reasons for them not telling others of it? Well, let me mention two briefly. If you turn me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Christ is speaking in this passage. In verse 22 of Matthew 10, Christ says to his disciples, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." He speaks about God's people being hated and being persecuted. In verse 26, Christ said, however, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known." That's a paraphrase. That's another way of saying what we've been looking at in Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. "What I tell you," verse 27, "what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Christ is simply telling his disciples, "You will be hated for my name's sake." He says in verse 16 of the chapter, "You'll be hunted like sheep or hunted by wolves." Verse 18, "You'll be arrested and brought before courts." Verse 17, "You'll be scourged." Verse 21, "You'll maybe even be killed." But Christ says in verse 27, "What I tell you, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the mountaintops and the housetops." Don't you be afraid of what people will say or think or do with you whenever you tell them the word of God that you heard. Don't you be afraid of them. Just you preach it from the housetops. Yes, preach it in love and with wisdom, but you preach it all the same. "Fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Why do people not bring forth fruit from the word whenever they go forth in the Lord's day? Because
They're afraid. Their hearts are the thorny ground. They care too much for the comforts of this world and the pleasure of this world more than they care for Christ. Thorny ground. You know what people will think of them? Oh, they think you're a bit weird. You speak of Christ. They'll laugh at you. They'll think purely of you. They'll not promote you, not exalt you, not respect you. And yet the thorny ground here is the one that doesn't speak of what they heard. Doesn't preach it from the housetops. They care too much about the cares and the pleasures of this world. That's a thorny ground. You turn me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. In the opening verse, we read again about a multitude being gathered unto Christ, and Christ gives them a warning. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. We read, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trod one upon another. They've come to hear Christ speak. That Christ began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then in verse 2, he used the language that we're looking at in Luke chapter 8. He says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Again, Christ is saying, whenever you hear the word, whenever you hear my word, you go and you preach it upon the housetops. But if you don't, you're like the Pharisee. We were the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as a group of people, generally speaking, were those who professed to love God, but they did not. They professed to love truth, but they did not. They professed to be surrendered to God, but they were not. They professed to have died to self, but they had not died to self. They in reality lived for self, for their own honor, their own career, their own popularity, and the praise of men. They did not live for God. And as a result, they did not declare what Christ had told them. And so while the first passage, Matthew 10, did not pass on the word because of fear, those in Luke chapter 12 did not pass the word on because of hypocrisy. They didn't really care for the word at all. They were like that rocky ground. There was that little bit of soil. Well, that was interesting, you know, whenever they were there in the crowd, but whenever they went away, they didn't care about Christ. They had no love for Christ. They had no changed heart for Christ. It was all about themselves. Heart was cold toward God. Death. This evening, you and I are afraid of telling forth the word that God gives to us because people will think we're weird. Or is it that you and I do not tell the people what we've heard because in reality we don't care about it. We don't care about the word. We don't care about Christ. You see, if we're the latter, with a rocky heart, they don't care. Now, I'm not talking about those who fail and stumble. Peter, in the New Testament, was one who denied Christ 3 times. He had the opportunity to reveal what he was taught by Christ, but he didn't, and he denied Christ 3 times. He failed to declare the words. But yet, whenever he got one glimpse of Christ, he broke down in tears. And he cried before his Savior. And his heart got right with God. I'm not talking, are you one, or indeed am I one, that fails the Lord from time to time, and seeing our failure, and not being blessed, and taking the word and praying over the word, it will be impacted by the word. This great, tremendous gift from God that gives us the light and the truth of our loving Savior. The one who loved us and shed his blood upon Calvary. The one who was nailed for us. The one who was forsaken and abandoned by God the Father for us. That we go home, we're not changed by it. I'm not talking that we feel the odd time and yet repent whenever we see our sinfulness and cry like Peter did before God, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, help me to be changed by your word. Help me to care about your word. I'm talking about people who go out week after week and just do not care. Christ speaks to you. He convinces you of your sinfulness, not listening to the word and not caring about the word, not being changed by the word, and you don't care. Good hearing produces godly living. Good hearing produces godly life. There was with me a second point. Good hearing brings God's blessing.
There's a comfort here and a challenge in this. But the second point is that good hearing brings God's blessing. You look at me, please, at verse 18 of Luke chapter 8. Christ, he gives this warning. He says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. And out of all that I've said to you, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Make sure you're not a rocky ground hearer. Make sure you're not a thorny ground hearer. Make sure you're a good hearer. You're impacted by the word. You bring forth fruit from the word. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Good hearing brings God's blessing. You think again about this little lamp. You think about where you would have the opening, where you put the oil in, and then you have the little spout where the light comes forth. And the idea is, if you're a lamp, that as you receive the oil, you make use of the oil, you make use of the Word of God, and as a result, you're impacted by the Word of God, and you shine forth. The reality is, Christ says, I'll give you more oil, that you'll be able to shine even all the brighter for me. Or you receive my word, pray over my word, meditate upon my word, bless through my word, are changed by my word, and reveal my word. The more I will give you. However, if you do not shine forth from what you hear, if you're not changed by what you hear, if you don't pray over what you hear and reveal what you hear, then not merely will I not give you more oil, but I will take the oil that's in you out. See, the lesson is simple tonight. The more you and I receive the word, and the more we love the word and pray over the word and cry that God will change us through the word that we've heard, the more we'll obey the word, and the more we shine forth by our lives and by the words that we speak, the word, then the God will give us more of that word. As we come week after week, God will show us more of Christ. God will open up our eyes to see more of Christ and his wondrous gospel and his salvation. And he'll change us more and more by his Spirit, making us more like Christ. He'll make us shine all the more brightly for him, using us as an influence, using us as servants and witnesses for him. Perhaps you're here and you want to be a servant for God. You want to be a light for God. How do you do it? You listen to the word. You go home, you pray over the word. You pray that God will change you by the words. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study is the idea of effort and of energy and of time and of sacrifice. Study to show thyself approved unto God. In Acts chapter 17, we read about those in Thessalonica that rejected the word. But then we read about those in Berea. And we read in Acts 17, 11 that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And many believe. The more you put in, the more you will get out. Have you ever heard it said? Have you ever said it? I got nothing out of that message today. I got nothing out of that Sunday school class. I got nothing out of that sermon. Now it's possible there was nothing in the sermon. But it's also possible that there was nothing put in by the hearer. You think about the parable of the sower. What takes more effort? The sowing of the seed, or the breaking up of the ground? What takes more effort? What takes more time? We want to be good hearers. We need to break up our ground, don't we? You see, this ground not merely brought forth fruit the first time it was sown upon, but you see, the weeding had to be kept being done. The ground had to keep being softened so the rain would come and soften, nutrients would help the seed. Yes, the sower, the preacher must put the work in and the effort in to preach the word. But does the hearer not have to put more work in that their hearts are prepared to hear the word? In South Africa, we have one of the largest gold mines in the world. Whenever it comes to the reserves, it's produced 32.8 million ounces of gold. If you put that in today's money, it is £48 billion worth. Did they get that? Just by taking the little finger and going to the soil and 3 goes at it. Nah, I didn't get any gold today. That's me away home.
No. They had to dig 3,000 meters into the ground, 3 kilometers, to get the gold.
Christ is simply saying here that if you don't receive the word, you don't take the gift that he gives, as the word is publicly proclaimed, and not merely will he not give you more, but he will take away what you have. There was a young man that I know, and I knew he was young, he's older than I, and he was brought up in a godly home. He went to a Christian school, he went to a godly church. The word was preached to him day after day, and all these three spheres. He won the shield year after year for the memorization of Scripture. Nobody could beat him. And yet, a number of years later, a friend of mine, who tried to be a witness to him because his life was not right with God, and taking him to John 1 in a Bible study, he read John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because he was beginning to doubt, you know, was Jesus Christ even God? And they took it to John 1. And this young boy who was taught the truth year after year, in his late teens, if not early 20s, he turned around and said, I don't get it. What's the word? What's the word? A man who had been blessed so much by God with truth, who knew at a time so much truth, but not doing anything with the truth, not praying over the truth, not meditating upon the truth, not believing the truth. God took away what he had. And his heart was so cold before God. You understand why this is such a solemn passage? Take heed how you hear. You and I go away and we do nothing with the word. Christ says, not merely will you not be given more, but what you have will be taken away. Take heed how you hear. How are we to listen to God's word? Turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. I just try and mention a few points here briefly, some practical points, because it's very relevant. You may say, well, preacher, what does it mean to hear the word? What does it mean to be a good hearer of the word? Well, turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. You come to the book of Hebrews and you come to James. In verse 18 of chapter 1, we read about how it's the word of God that begat us. God used the word. And through the word, the children of God are born again. That we bring forth fruit as his creatures. The word's essential, by the way, for salvation. The word is essential, by the way, for growth in Christ. It's essential. Christ said, sanctify them through thy words. Faith cometh by the word. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's through the preaching of the gospel of Christ that it's the power of God unto salvation. Not merely in justification, but in sanctification. The power is in the word, the Spirit of God. But yet in verse 19, after being told the importance of the word and the necessity of it, in verse 19, we read, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. How are you and I to listen to the word? We're listening eagerly. Rightly said, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. Be swift to hear. Be eager to hear. Be coming into the service praying, Lord, I want to hear. Pray in the week leading up to it. That's why we're taught to remember the Sabbath day. Throughout the week, remember the Sabbath day is coming and pray for the Sabbath day. Pray for the preaching of the words, that you will delight to hear the words. The psalmist said his delight was in the law of God. In Psalm 19, he said, the law of God is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter even than honey in the honeycomb. He loved to hear the words. Be swift to hear the word. Listen eagerly. Listen humbly. Verse 19, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. People, sometimes they come into God's house, they don't want to hear. They don't want to be rebuked. They want to be convinced of their sin. Don't like, perhaps, the preacher. Don't like him. Be slow to speak. Be slow to wrath. Ignore the preacher. Listen to the word. Listen humbly. Listen purposefully. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What's the purpose of coming to hear the word? The righteousness of God. That those who come tonight and you're lost, that you will hear of the righteousness of Christ. That while you are imperfect, Christ died on the cross and shed his precious blood so that you could have all your sins forgiven, and that Christ could apply to your account his perfect life. So whenever God looks at you, he doesn't see you in your sinfulness. He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ covering you, and you're perfect in God's sight. The purpose of you coming, dear unbeliever, is that you will receive the righteousness of Christ. And dear believer, the purpose of coming to hear the word is that you'll become more righteous like Christ. Come purposefully. Come to listen, not only purposefully, but intensely. In verse 23, we read, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It is the idea of a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh, the word for look in the Greek there is with great intensity. Look with concentration, look with intensity, look with effort. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You imagine somebody tomorrow, maybe a young boy, he gets up and he's getting ready for school, he throws his uniform on. And he goes and he looks in the mirror and he just goes like that there and just walks on. He just glances at it. What benefit's that going to do anybody? He needs to look and look even for a few seconds to see if his hair is all out of shape and his tie is wonky and he's still got some breakfast on his chin. He needs a bit more time to look at the mirror. It's not a glance. So when it comes to God's word, it's not a matter, oh, I got a wee word in season today. I got a wee devotional thought. Amen. And go home and never do anything about it. No, it's whoso looketh into the law of liberty with concentration, with effort, with sacrifice and time, he will be blessed. He'll bring forth fruit. Of course, we are to listen sincerely. How many types of soil were there? There were four. How many brought forth fruit? Just one. Just one. Only one came prepared. Only one came praying that God would speak. Only one came with that delight in God's word. Only one went away thinking and meditating upon the word. Does that not show that even among those that publicly hear the word of God, that the vast majority are not good hearers? Three out of four did not hear the word aright. Bad hearing brings judgment. Christ said in Luke chapter 8, that which he seemeth to have. He seems to have the word. He seems to have received the word. He seems to have, as it were, the oil in the lamp. The reality is he doesn't have it at all. Well, I plead with you as I speak to myself here this evening. And I do mention I speak to myself before I speak to anybody. Let us not neglect the word. As it's preached week by week, let us go home. Let us meditate upon it. Let us pray over it. Let us ask that God will change us by it. It's the only way that fruit comes. I spoke with somebody recently, turned around and said to me, that they didn't get anything out of the message. And I just asked them, well, would you be willing to listen to it again? I haven't got time to listen to your message again. I'm too busy. Too busy. I'll be honest, there are times in my life where I've been too busy to look over the message that God's given me. Every message of this congregation is for me. There's been times I've been too busy. And I haven't brought forth any fruit from the word. I have been a thorny ground. I have been a rocky ground hearer. That will bring judgment eventually. We continue in that. I plead with you, listen to the word of Christ. This is not a yellow warning or an amber warning. This is a very serious warning that impacts every single person here tonight. Take heed how you hear. In the verse that follows, Christ speaks about how the Mary and the Christ's half-brothers came. And in the midst of the crowd, they requested that Christ would come and stop what he's doing and come and speak with them. And Christ was said, oh, your mother and your brethren are here. And Christ turned around and said, my mother and my brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it. And you see, that's the third point, and I just conclude with it. If we are good hearers, it proves we are the children of God. It's God that's changed our hearts and lives to delight in his word, to pray over his word, to be changed by his word. It proves good hearing. Not merely produces godly light and godly living. Good hearing not merely brings blessing. Good hearing proves you are a child of God. Are you and I children of God tonight? Or are we not? Christ loved us. He died on the cross for us. Will you not receive his love? And will you not love him with all that you have? Turning from our sinfulness in all its forms. Asking him to cover us with the blood that he shed. Do we not need that covering for all our failures and all our sinfulness, even in neglecting the word? Ask Christ to forgive us. Ask Christ to cover us. Ask Christ to change us. We will love him and love his word. Do we not need the salvation of Christ tonight? Let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank thee for thy word. And Lord, I thank thee for it being a word in season to my own heart. Pray, Father, that by thy grace it will be a word in season to each one here. Father, let us see the warning of Christ. Let us hear it, not merely with our ears, but Father, let us receive it into our heart. That we would all, every single week, take heed how we hear. That our hearts would be broken up and prepared. That we would be ready with delight to hear thy word. No matter what it is, a word of comfort or a word of rebuke. Because, Lord, every word that you give us is a word of love to lead us in the paths of righteousness, and that alone. Father, I pray that tonight that there would be fruit that comes forth from thy word. That the lost tonight would see how sinful they have been, that they would be, Lord, terrified at the thought of Christ taking the word away from them, their understanding away from them, and that they would cry for Christ to forgive them and to change them and to save them. That they would cry for that tonight. Christ is willing to forgive, Lord. May they be encouraged and brought to Christ, compelled to come tonight by the Spirit of God. For us who are saved, Father, may we see how much we have failed, if that is the case. May we ask the Lord to forgive us. May we ask the Lord to change us. Lord, you have ordained us unto good works. Help us to redeem the time, to make use of every service. Lord, we'll be held accountable for every word we've heard, every word. Let us, Lord, make use of it, because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He's our Savior from hell and sin. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.